This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Let's go around the NFL in the loop style.
Why are you smiling?
Because I love football.
Brought to you by Quick Assist. Here's John Lopez and Reggie Adetula.
I'm going to tell you all about how much fun you're going to have this season.
On Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
Yeah, let's go around the NFL here in the loop on Sports Radio 610. And it's in around the NFL, rather, is brought to you by Quick Assist. Last minute changes of plans and can't use your tickets? Download Quick Assist from your app store today. They'll take care of the process for you and find the best price on the market. That's Quick. A-S-Y-S-T, Quick Assist, your ticket everywhere. So on the 5-Hour Energy fan line, 5-Hour Energy, the official energy shot of Sports Radio 610 and football superfans, we get a text from the 713 asking, is a local channel going to be showing the Texans tomorrow for those that don't have Amazon Prime? And I was like, that's actually a great question.
Mm-hmm.
Because by NFL rule, locally in market, you should be able to see the game. And that will be the case, according to the Chronicle, that Fox 26 will have a simulcast of broadcast tomorrow.
That's how it usually go.
Yeah,
I'm kind of curious how it's going to go as far as the Christmas game, because that's going to be on Netflix.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure they have to
simulcast.
Yeah. I'm not sure what channel.
Yeah, I'm not sure either. But at least for tomorrow, that's one place that you can watch it. But as always, you can always, always, always hear your Texans play right here on Sports Radio 610. And then also 100.3, The Bull.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the places that you can hear Mark Vandermeer, Andre Ware give you that reel about what's happening on the field for your Houston Texans. All right, some other things around the NFL. We finally got details on the Deontay Johnson trade. So for everybody that was looking at the possibility after Stephon Diggs is lost to an ACL tear for the season, there are names that popped up, names that people were looking at possible trade pieces that the Texans could go after. Deontay Johnson, very soon thereafter, gets traded to the Ravens, and we're like, well, that's off the table. And this is going to hurt a little bit more, because apparently the Ravens, there was only like a pick swap, mm-hmm. right? So the Baltimore Ravens send a sixth-round pick and get a fifth-round pick. Or sorry, send a fifth-round pick, get a sixth-round pick, and the services of Deontay Johnson. And then also, Deontay Johnson, his contract is being covered for the most part, down to less than $1 million, I believe, is what the Ravens are having to pay, which is not a lot for a guy that can come in and do some things offensively. In addition to that, Adam Schefter added, letting us know that if Deontay Johnson in free agency, as you know, this is basically a rental, he'll be a free agent at the end of the season. If he signs a contract that is equivalent to $5 million a year, average annual value, and that should probably be a layup considering the receiver prices, the Ravens will get a sixth-round compensatory pick.
That's crazy, man. They're giving him to him.
Or maybe, I don't know, if that might actually, they'll get a sixth-round pick back in 2026. So I'm not sure if that's compensatory.
Still get the pick.
And so at that point, like,
what are we doing,
They get the extra pick if he walks, pretty much.
Yeah, that's, and that what that did for me is it's another reminder of, when it comes to these trades, sometimes, depending on what the situation is, you can make it so that these things are pretty inexpensive at times. And so I understand I've personally been in a place where I think that you have a wide receiver core that's capable of doing things. And then also I know that there's been a lot of talk about the fact that you haven't really made use of the depth of the wide receiver core to anyways. And I know a lot of people talk about the potential injury. If you make a trade like this where you're just like,
you wouldn't feel bad about
this
one,
would you? I don't think that I could be too upset.
All right, let's say the Texans made this deal. How'd you feel about it?
It's a steal. It's a steal.
Cool. Let's go.
They're giving him they're giving him Johnson. They're giving him the player.
And at that point, if it don't work out, it don't work out.
Fine. And you talk about, I said this yesterday, and I'm still kind of there, but I'm leaning more toward where Ron is. Ron definitely thinks that they should
100%
make a deal. I'm kind of leaning that way because, number one, that's another AFC contender. That's the Ravens, man. You know, they're doing something. Now, maybe you're saying, hey, we're good. You know, that's what the Texans say. We're good. and maybe you are, but if you look at the receptions, and I know, you know, Xavier Hutchinson has shown a thing or two, you know, same with John Metchie this past week, but outside of, you know, put it this way, Stephon Diggs had 47 catches. That's the combined number of catches that Tank Dell and Dalton Schultz have had this year. Just Stephon Diggs. Outside of that, no wide receiver has more than 5 catches.
Yeah, but I also think some of that is because those catches and targets went to Stephon Diggs, and now those will spread around.
The most is 5.
Yeah.
5 catches. You know, we're 8 weeks in. So, oh boy. All the top teams are making some kind of noise.
Yeah, we'll see what kind of noise the Texans might make. I guess bringing this back around, mm-hmm. we were talking about earlier, Jeremy Fowler of ESPN had some reporting this morning that said that the Texans, prior to week 8 in which Kenyon Green struggled, supposedly have some level of interest in possibly trading Kenyon Green in a guard-for-guard trade. Mm-hmm. He also kind of name-dropped Nate Davis, mm-hmm. who is a right guard for the Bears, the Chicago Bears. And Nate Davis, the idea would be that the Bears possibly would be willing to cover some of his $8 million contract.
There you go.
Which would make that more tenable. I don't know if that's one of the spaces that they're looking at, Nick Caserio and company. But that does make it seem like a guard trade before the deadline mm-hmm. could be in the works if they were already in a place where supposedly that's something that they were looking at.
Yeah.
Some other things around the NFL. Your opponent for this week is the New York Jets. You'll face off against them tomorrow. In fact, the team is traveling today. Today's mm-hmm. the travel day as they head to the greater New York, New Jersey area to face off against the Jets. The Jets have some things that they are working on to get themselves right, including working out kickers. Yesterday, they worked out 6, count them, 6 kickers, including Cade York and Zane Gonzalez to possibly...
See, I missed the contest.
That's right.
I should have signed up for this contest.
Well, they're still working guys out. So if you want to fly up there with the team, see if you could talk to D'Amico or Nick and see if you can hop on a flight. Cade York missed his 2 attempts in his only game for Washington this season. Gonzalez hasn't kicked in the NFL since 2021. Like, this is what they're doing because... Greg Zuerlein, who has been their kicker this season, is only 9 for 15 mm-hmm. on field goal attempts, and he's missed an extra point. 2 of those misses, mind you, less than 40 yards. Yeah. Like, he's been real sporadic. So the kicking game might be another detriment for the Jets in this
one. Well, we thought that might be the case, and you're always going to have, almost always going to have the kicking advantage. But it seems like you're really going to have it in this game for sure.
Another Jets thing I'd like to note is that Aaron Rodgers, you know that sometimes he comes with the...
He's out there, baby.
Yeah, okay, that's a great way of putting it, right? A little unorthodox at times, mm-hmm. and he says that he attributes Thomas Morstead for this, but he has found the, quote, fountain of youth.
So he found it.
Well,
people
Thomas,
have been looking
Thomas
at
Morstead, and he has been introduced to it.
Yeah.
The fountain of youth is, quote, cayenne pepper and water.
Cayenne pepper and water is the fountain of youth.
Yeah, Rogers says that he's gassing up with it and feels great physically.
Who was it? Ponce de Leon was looking for the fountain of youth. So ever since,
I'd be lying if I told you that I recall.
Ever since then, they've been looking for the fountain of youth. Leave it to Aaron Rodgers and his buddy.
Isn't this something that like people were using as cleanses in the early 2000s?
I don't think this is that creative. Cayenne pepper and water.
You just get some spice.
I feel like I've heard that before. How is that the fountain of youth? He said it takes away his soreness and stuff.
Yeah, well, I mean, Rich Kamini, I believe is how his name is pronounced.
Oh, Samini.
Samini. Okay, there you go. Thank you very much for putting me up there. He's an NFL Nation reporter. Mm-hmm. He said that cayenne pepper, in doing some Googling, can have several health benefits, including pain relief. So I know I put cayenne pepper on damn near all my food, so maybe that's why I feel great.
Maybe that's why you're so healthy.
Maybe that I just have been overlooking the fountain of youth that I've always had right there in front of
what
me.
What does cayenne pepper and water do?
I think water is just in order to digest it, right? Or to ingest it, right?
But I'm saying I'm guessing Aaron Rodgers uses cayenne pepper on meals occasionally.
Yeah, that's probably, I guess it's...
I don't know, maybe not everybody likes spicy. Yeah.
Maybe it's a little more healthy because you can't drink the cayenne pepper. Mm-hmm. So
it's just the water. Just the cinnamon challenge except cayenne pepper?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
just puffs of smoke?
That was a time, man.
I'm a big fan of grandma's home remedies. I'm a big fan.
Okay.
Is there
one that comes to mind for you?
There's 3 that come to mind.
Okay.
That absolutely work. Hand to God. They work. 100%.
I'll be the judge of that.
You ever get a bee sting?
No, I've never. I stay away from I have managed
never
to
got stung by a bee?
Not once.
You gotta be kidding me.
That's correct.
I think we've stumbled upon the real story here.
You wasn't outside.
I'm God's favorite. That's
you definitely wasn't outside.
Well, no, I am also
you wasn't in them sticks.
Well, I mean,
how can you never grow up and never get stung by a bee?
Because when I see a bee, I flee the area.
Why would I see them?
How? It sounds like you need to keep your head on a swivel because I be seeing the bees.
You're working. Last time I got stung by a bee, I was working on my workbench outside. I moved something, a bee stung me. And I actually used this, my grandma's home remedy, and it works like a champ. You get a garlic clove, and you crush it, so it gets kind of sticky, and mm-hmm. the garlic juice comes out, and you rub it on the bee sting. It gets the stinger and all the venom out.
Okay, that's good 100%. To know. 100%. That's good to know for the next time 100%. That I don't get stung by a bee.
Menudo for a hangover. We all know that.
Okay.
And this is one my mom used to use all
also
the time.
Also haven't had a hangover.
yes, you have to.
Have you? Lived?
No, live a little.
Just God's favorite, I think.
So, if you have a cough, my mom used
definitely
to do
I've had those.
All this,
I
all
have
this.
Had those. Just letting you know,
pecan tree bark tea. Like you get some chunks of pecan tree bark, boil it, sift it, drink that tea. Your cough will go away.
Okay.
Home remedies, baby.
I don't know exactly where to get pecan tree bark.
Over to Aaron Rodgers then.
No, these work. Aaron Rodgers is just being Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
There's people caping for cayenne pepper on the 5-hour energy fan line. 713 said cayenne pepper, they said they could stretch your stomach lining, but 979 said it's good for circulation and blood flow. So
does that help, I guess?
I mean, blood flow is always a good thing for you, right?
Yeah.
Sending those blood cells and that carry the positive things to the areas of your body. Look, I'm not nobody's doctor, right?
Yeah.
Why are you asking me these questions? someone said, did Rogers take ayahuasca and speak to his ancestor, Ponce de Leon, to find it? I don't think so. But I can't take it off the table. One more thing around the NFL. This season has actually been an interesting one. And if you felt like it's been more competitive, there is a statistic to prove you correct. Apparently in this 2024 season, there have been 67 games decided by 7 points or less, which is the most ever through week 8 of a season. So we're seeing a lot of these. It's not just the Texans playing a whole bunch of one-score games. This is around the NFL. You're seeing a lot of teams playing these close games. Also, there's been 57 games decided by 6 points or fewer, which is an interesting designation, but that is also a most through week 8. So a lot of close games in the course of the season.
Close games, lower scoring games, which is really what I'm taking out of this is quarterback play has been, and it's more so earlier in the year, quarterback play has been less than what we've expected, and as much as they've done everything possible to limit what defenses can do, defenses are still getting it done. I think the lower scoring game tends to lead to closer games.
Some other things coming on the text line. 936 says loose tobacco on a bee sting.
I've heard that, never tried it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just go ahead and send in all your
home remedies, Grandma.
All your home remedies.
Walita used to tell you.
That's right. And someone said from the 936, and we were talking about the idea of the local broadcast, right, on all these newfangled streaming things that the NFL is doing to get more money. You will be able to see, as we mentioned earlier, you'll be able to see this Thursday night game tomorrow on Fox 26. But then also, Christmas game is supposedly on ABC 13 as well.
Okay.
So, okay. Those are the ways to watch the game. But why watch it when you can listen to it right here on Sports Radio 610?
Why would you?
I don't know.
Why would you?
I'm going to pretend like I don't know the answer to that. Mm-hmm. All right. That's around the NFL here in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next. Does the NFL have a quarterback development problem? This is a question that was swirling around on Twitter, inspired by Anthony Richardson being benched unceremoniously in his second season. We'll talk about that and more next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
Yeah, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. John Lopez, Figgy, Reginald Atitula hanging out with you. Does the NFL indeed have a quarterback development problem? This inspired by Anthony Richardson, who is clearly in a division rival or on a division rival. I don't know that he has given you play that has made him feel like a rival. As he's been fairly substandard, a big, you know, talented, you know, trait-laden player, but he's not put it together, and to the point where the Colts and Shane Steichen have decided that they are not going to have him start. Joe Flacco, savvy veteran that's done this, stepped in for a haphazard quarterback before, even very recently, in fact. He'll do it again. And not only will he do it in this upcoming game this Sunday, what was the news that we got today?
Yeah, he announced, I can announce that moving forward, Anthony Richardson is the Colts quarterback. So,
Joe Flacco is the
Excuse me, Joe Flacco is the starting quarterback. So it's Flacco's job to lose.
That's interesting. Wait, even more interesting because, Fig, if you could hit this for me, Shane Steichen. This is Shane Steichen on draft night talking about Anthony Richardson and what he has going.
Yeah, I think with anything, right, I think the development of players comes with more experience, right? 13 starts. I think when you play more, that's how you develop. You know what I mean? So with him playing and his experience as a player and getting more reps, right, practice reps, game reps, I think that's how you develop.
Well, they decided against more game reps in this particular situation.
He got punched in the mouth. You know, the old everybody has a plan thing. There's going to be some collateral damage, and Shane Steichen is on that list. So he's like, okay, I got to make a move.
Yeah, maybe so. But Sam Block on Twitter, at the Sam Block, the Block Spot, I guess, tweeted this out, and I don't know. I'll read it for you. Anthony Richardson's 22. He's been benched. Bryce Young is 23. He's been benched. Trey Lance is 24. He's been benched. Justin Fields is 25. He has been benched. Will Levis, 25. Benched. Zach Wilson, 25. Benched. I think you're getting where we're going here.
I think so.
Mac Jones, 26. Benched. Kenny Pickett, 26. Benched. And he concludes it with, the NFL has a QB development problem. So let's start with that statement in and of itself. Do you agree that the NFL has a quarterback development problem?
Mostly. And let me explain that. I go back to Tom Brady and what he said, I believe it was this offseason, about quarterback development in the NFL. I think most of us remember that. He was talking about, like, in college, they don't do these things that you do. You know, he was talking about how Michigan was a pro-style offense, and it helped him. And he played a lot, and he had to fight for his job, and had a lot of starts. And
he said he had to learn from being seventh quarterback on the depth chart to moving up to third, or ultimately to being a starter.
Yes, in the pro style offense. I think so. Yes, I think the NFL has a quarterback development problem, but it starts at the college level, which is the NFL's farm system. So, and when you look at these guys off the top of my head, Anthony Richardson didn't play a pro style offense. Bryce Young, maybe a little bit at Alabama, but I think he was, you know, sort of. They were on the edges a lot, and they had just an array of receivers. And
one of the things you say, pro-style offense, a lot of these offenses are filtering up, right? Like, a lot of these concepts are filtering up to the NFL level from the college ranks.
They are, but it's still, by and large, I mean...
And they have for a long time. I want to make that clear.
They have been, but by and large, it's still quarterback under center, by and large. Not every team. It's still run the ball. It's still play action. You know, it's still between the tackles. By and large, I know there's some offenses that are much more wide open, more of a West Coast thing than the spread wide open college thing. So I can't just blame the NFL for not developing quarterbacks. I think another part of it is it's not just the money, it's the pressure of starting a first-round quarterback.
Yeah, I think that's where I went immediately. Just, what is the incentive structure that has been set up in all of these places, college included? But at the NFL, one of those things that I think has felt apparent is that coaches do not have the same level of security that they once had.
Exactly.
So I think that is one of the things you look at, where coaches, in taking the time to stop and develop, I don't know that they have that. Plus, the time to develop inherently, we've heard coaches complain about this over a long time, with the ways that these CBAs have been negotiated and the opportunity to have practice time in the offseason and those things. Those have been limited for the idea of player safety. But I do think that this is some of where that shows itself, is not having the opportunity to work with the guy and nearly as much in the offseason, and them having to kind of do that individually. You talk about the incentive structure of teams, right? It seems like what has become abundantly clear is one of the ways that you maximize your roster building situation is if you have a quarterback on a rookie contract who can go,
it feels like then you have more money to spend other places than you give yourself to try and win.
Yeah.
So I think teams are chasing the opportunity to get in there and do that. But simultaneously, like with Anthony Richardson in particular, and maybe with some of these other guys, maybe not all of them, but some of them, like Anthony Richardson, Bryce Young, Trey Lance, maybe Justin Fields, not quite in the same way. Some of these guys were taken off of traits and like, well, we can coach him up and we can get him to that place, as opposed to where in years past, some of those guys would be looked at, and I think Seth was talking about this earlier, as projects and not necessarily hoisted immediately into that space, mm-hmm. but given time to flesh out the remainder of what's needed to get themselves to being quarterbacks. So I think that also hurts the numbers in some way.
And we have to be honest here. I think a big part of the pressure of playing quarterbacks early, even when they're drafted in the second and third round. I mean, it used to be like you draft a quarterback in the second or third round or below. Like, that guy's sitting for 3 years.
Yeah.
You know? But it's our fault.
And it's
our fault. It's fans' fault. It's the pressure of, hey, man, you know, the unknown. I mean, freaking Malik Willis. You know, there was pressure to play, you know, Malik Willis because he was a draft. Where was he drafted? It wasn't. It was late.
Third round.
It was late.
Third round draft pick.
They had no. That guy should have been sitting for 3 years.
Yeah, but I think you also get the pressure of the success you get out of these certain quarterbacks, the Russell Wilsons, mm-hmm. and even like now, current time, C.J. Stroud. So now, when you draft these players, you want a C.J. Stroud type of quarterback that's coming in the league, setting the league on fire. And if that's not happening in a year and a half, then we got to look somewhere else because my job could be on the line.
Yeah, that quick leash is playing in for sure. Well said, Fig. One of the things I thought about immediately, and I don't know what level, like if we're power ranking the reasons why it feels like quarterbacks have not been panning out, especially early on, and you're seeing this benching trend happen. It feels like also you go to any level of football, and there's no level of football where development is more of a priority than individual winning.
Yeah.
Right. College football is one of those places where it's always, you know, the coach needs to win, right, in order to remain their spot. But I think they also have shorter leashes, so they're trying to get wins immediately, and developing a quarterback or whatever isn't a priority. High school football.
No, for sure.
Right. Even high school, where mm-hmm. is a place that you would think that there is more of a focus on developing players, helping them grow into better young mm-hmm. men that are capable of going not only into the world, but then also into higher levels of football if they so choose to be able to do that. Even at that level, it has become very cutthroat for high school coaches. Mm-hmm. And I think that also, all of these levels where you're supposed to be helping develop a player, I don't know that anybody has the incentive to help that player along more than I need to win these games, as opposed to get them ready for something in the future. So we're passing these players along, and if they can just, you know, make something shake to get the wins now, that's fine. But as opposed to making them a better player, I don't know how many places are designed to help them do that.
Yeah, no, I think the pressure on coaches, the pressure put on teams and coaches by the outside, including us and fans and whomever, national pundits and all that, is one part of it. I think the development, the need to win games and instead of develop quarterbacks is part of it. It's several things, but I feel like the NFL, in terms of developing quarterbacks, how is it? My question is, will it ever change? Because social media mm-hmm. and pressure and talk radio and fans, you know, clamoring for the next guy, like they were, you know, they're booing Anthony Richardson, and that guy had no right being thrown into where he was thrown into so soon. He had 13, you just heard it, 13 starts.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think
13 starts.
The real traits.
Yeah.
I think in the perfect world, you would want like a Joe Flacco to possibly be there and let Anthony Richardson mm-hmm. watch and sit and yeah. learn for a little bit. Because yeah. even if you look at like Atlanta, they signed Kirk Cousins, and I know we kind of laughed at the move a little bit, but they also drafted the quarterback very early.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if this quarterback ended up being good after Kirk Cousins leave, then they're going to be like, oh, maybe we need to start doing that yeah. and start letting these quarterbacks sit a little bit.
And Penix has played a lot of football as well in the college level. I think some of this that's tough, though, is, all right, let's say you go get an Anthony Richardson. I think that I frequently talked about him as a dude that would get somebody fired because, again, big traits. But then everybody's chasing the Josh Allen mode of development where it's not there and then all of a sudden it is, right? Mm-hmm. He's not accurate at all. Well, we can make it happen because it happened with Josh Allen. Good luck with that. But then in addition to that, right, two of the names, Anthony Richardson and Trey Lance, those dudes had not played enough football. I understand the idea that, hey, we need to sit them and let them figure out what they're doing, right? Like, watch and develop. But some of this is you need to play football. And I don't know that there's many avenues than putting them out there, but the problem that I think the Colts have come to, in which they've had to bench Anthony Richardson, all right, that's good for his development. How good is that for everybody else who's out here trading on their bodies to try and get these things done, especially if that player is not up to the standard, but you're trying to get them reps?
But see, you say that, and I don't think it's necessarily like flat wrong, but there is an exception to that. And the exception is, for years, quarterbacks sat and watched and held the clipboard and worked the scout team.
Look at Carson Palmer.
And didn't actually play games and got good. You know, there are examples of sit and watch, man.
Jordan Love.
Just listen to the veterans, you know, and all that. But I think part of it still goes back to rookie contract. Like, if he does develop, we're going to have him for what, for 6 months?
And you got to give yourself time to figure out early or not if you want to pay him that big money on the second. Yeah. That might be CBA, and the way that the money has gone where quarterback contracts continue to go up, that might be some of it as well. It might not even be necessarily a development issue. It's just the time strain that the teams have on trying to determine is this guy good enough or not, so that we can decide if we give him a big deal, is it going to hurt us real bad?
Yeah.
That also plays in.
I think it depends on the organization, too, because if you have like an organization like a Green Bay that just fine quarterbacks and from letting them sit, I think they have no issue with letting them sit. And if that person is good that year, paying them.
I'm telling you, man. Like, let's say you are Mike Tomlin, draft a quarterback this coming season, all right? And he sits for 2 or 3 years. And all of a sudden, they ask him, you know, he determines, I don't think he's our guy. And he goes somewhere else, and then he becomes a star. Even Mike Tomlin would be criticized. You know, how come you couldn't play that guy? How come you let him go? Well, because he was doing it the right way, but doing it the right way is costly these days. Literally costly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It feels like there is a development issue, but I think that also in some ways there's kind of always been this. It's just been exacerbated by all of these various things around the edges getting slimmer. Like, the margins are getting thinner and thinner, and all of these things add up to a lot of young guys being benched. But I do wonder how many of the talented guys are you having come out in general, right? Like, it feels like there's only one every so often, right? One in a blue moon that really does land, even with circumstance as well. That's another thing that I think we also need to talk about. The preponderance of teams tanking in order for a player.
Yes.
And then you're dropping.
Then there's more pressure.
But not only that, right? Like, because you lit games on fire in order for that guy to get there, so he has to be good. But then also, now you're dropping a player into a situation that's not good for them, right?
Yeah.
And how are you supposed to develop when you're playing on a team that is not built to try and be any level of good?
I think the other thing, too, is back in the day, it was perfectly fine for a rookie quarterback to have a bad rookie year. Mm-hmm. Like, you've seen it from Peyton Manning. He had a bad rookie year.
And that's our fault.
Downright bad.
It was totally fine with that.
Yeah.
So now when they have a bad rookie year, look at Bryce Young. Now it's a lot of pressure year two, and he got benched, two games into the season?
Yeah.
Troy Aikman?
Yeah.
Peyton Manning?
Yeah. It was normal for a rookie quarterback to have a bad rookie year.
Yeah.
So you're saying CJ ruined it for everybody?
He kind of did. We've said that before.
Nah, he did.
What a blessing to have a guy like CJ that worked out. And then honestly, it's even tastier. It's even more delicious that they had the S2 test and all those things, and that he was basically put down as definitely not going to work out. And here he is, the one standing above the rest, working out, being a high-level quarterback, and ultimately also carrying a lot more of the load this year than any of these other guys that we can talk about that were benched. So a real blessing in a landscape of a lot of quarterbacks having to be benched after coming out here and starting not that well. C.J. Stroud and the Houston Texans. A fantastic beacon in the desert of quarterback play, or young quarterback play, I should say. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's get into what's popping, including more World Series, and also, we're going to have the Simpsons in the football space. We'll talk about that next.
The biggest stories in sports and entertainment. Sports Radio 610 style. In the Loop presents What's Poppin'.
All right, let's get into What's Poppin' here in the Loop right here on Sports Radio 610. We were just talking about the idea of the QB development in the league, if there's a problem there, and it feels like there definitely is. Somebody texted in and was like, you know, it just feels like only good teams are going to be able to develop quarterbacks. And as long as you have bad teams drafting early, then you might not see this be a positive trend. And that, all that says to me is abolish the draft, baby.
Mm-hmm.
Abolish the draft. I'm sure everybody's going to love that. No, but yeah, it does feel like you also have consistently seen that in a good circumstance, especially with good players around them, line, receivers, all those things. Also, a running game, things like that that can help a rookie quarterback not have them all, have all of the world on their shoulders. You see better development in some of those circumstances. And so, yeah, obviously teams need to take note.
Or just good organizations, to be honest, that, you know, the people with like a Andy Reid or Green Bay or something like that, man. It's a reason why we look at it like they lucked up, but they clearly know what they're doing.
That's right.
There is a reason.
That's right. Yeah. All right. What's popping? I know that some people have been frustrated with talk about the World Series, but it's been fun baseball,
World Series,
man. It's been fun baseball. And the Yankees actually showed us a sign of life, I guess maybe even more than that. 11 runs in a elimination game. They stave off elimination 11-4. As Freddie Freeman, again, he keeps doing this.
Count them.
Six games consecutively with a home run that actually now takes the lead. He moves past George Springer's lead of 5 consecutive games with home run.
That's the MVP, right?
Without question.
You would think.
Without question. Like, hey, it has
to take
happen.
Up for Ohtani, man. You would think.
Oh, no. I'm just saying.
Okay.
No, I'm just saying, like, it's 2-1 now. It's 3-1 now. So who knows how it goes. There might be Volpe. Has come through a little bit.
They have to come all the way back.
They'd have to come all the way back.
It's a really great game, but a bullpen game though, mm-hmm. by the Dodgers. They now
kind of makes me sick. It really does.
It's crazy because there was this not this past game, but the game prior, right? The first game in New York when Fat Joe's on the mound, yeah. And it's Tim's doing this. And I've realized, I am old baseball head without being old baseball head, because I was like, man, that probably gonna make the mound lumpy. What about where the pitcher's gonna land? And then in this one, I'm like, yo, how are you throwing a bullpen game? What happened to the starters really coming out and trying to battle for 7 or 8 or 9 innings? And I'm like, oh, okay.
Gut it out.
But
do
you feel like they were just trying to get the series back home?
Well, I mean, I think that they had to go to a bullpen game because they just, when it comes to starters, right? Like,
we live now.
It's where we live now. But they also, once you got into the game and once you got to a certain point, they didn't pull out their heavy hitters when it came to, or I guess, their big time closers or, you know, late relievers, in this game. So it did feel like, all right, fine, whatever. Let's go back.
Let's celebrate in LA, baby.
Yeah.
They'll have that opportunity. They will have that opportunity to go back. That game is tonight, is it not?
It's tomorrow, I believe.
Or tomorrow, 7:08. Yeah, there's travel in there. I forgot what day it is. But they'll go Dodgers, Yankees, an opportunity to try and close it out again. And the Yankees still have
They got Gerrit Cole.
They got Gerrit Cole on the mound. Like, the odds are in the Yankees' favor to continue to extend this.
Yeah, well, wouldn't that be something? Wouldn't that be something?
All right, so understanding that you know, your team is the Dodgers, but, you know, jokingly.
Look, let's be honest.
Let's go Dodgers.
Everyone's team is the Dodgers, it seems like, right now.
That's what I was going to ask. Yeah. Is like, would you rather see this thing put to bed already, or would you like to see this thing extended and just get more fun baseball?
I'd like to see it extended to 6 to get the old tight rear end going a little bit with the Dodgers. You know, are we going to blow this thing? And the odds are it could happen. Like I said, Gerrit Cole, if they win, game 5.
That's right. It's one more in New York before they go back to L.A.
Okay. And so, yeah, I'd like to see the tension start to mount for the old Dodgers.
I would like to end it early or either go 7.
Yeah.
To have everybody sitting on their hands.
Mm-hmm.
So tonight, Gerrit Cole, Flaherty is going for the Dodgers. And the Yankees try and get one more at home. It seems like the two knuckleheads that ultimately got involved and interfered with a play last night will have the opportunity to be there. Jesse Rogers, the ESPN, was able actually to see the gentleman that interfered with the foul ball that ultimately Mookie Betts caught. It was foul out, I guess I should say.
Well, he caught it early.
He did catch it. And then these two jokers, one of them whose name is Capobianco.
Yeah.
Austin Capobianco grabbed Betts' glove with both hands and tried to pull the ball out. Eventually, he actually did pry the ball out, but not Not until the umpire there was like, yeah, no, that's an out.
By the way, that game is tonight.
That is tonight, yes, sir.
Tonight.
And Capibiano Banco's friend, John Peter, apparently then also grabbed Mookie Betts' hand to try and keep him in place as Austin tried to pull the ball out. Yeah, both these guys, we mentioned that they got kicked out. That was the impetus for our question of the day. But they told ESPN that they're season ticket holders, and he knew he would be in trouble, but chose to grab the open glove nonetheless. And apparently they talk often about that scenario. If a foul ball comes their way, that they were going to do that. So it's premeditated. However, they said that when they were escorted out of the stadium, they were told they would be allowed back for game 5.
Talk about only in New York.
There's no way that this should happen, right?
There's no way they should
be let back in this.
Yeah, because
at the very least, they should be banned for the rest of the series.
Yeah, just think about, let's say it was a Dodgers fan that did this. They wouldn't be allowed back in at all.
Any other, pretty much, I'm guessing, any other organization, the organization and the city and the fans would be embarrassed. The Yankees are glorifying this guy. Not only are they glorifying him, I'm in the boat of they should be banned for life. That's a World Series game. And the ball didn't even go into the stands, really. It was kind of up against the wall, and they pulled the dude's hand.
At least be banned for the rest of the World Series.
At least the rest of the World Series. And they're going to bring him back. They're going to be cheering for him. Those Yankees fans are going to be cheering his name. And by the way, Sean Pendergast likes to say Capobianco far too much.
What are you doing right now?
I think he's implying something. He said, did you hear him this morning talking about that? And Capobianco did this, and Capobianco. I think he's watched a lot of
The Sopranos.
The Sopranos, yeah.
Maybe so.
He might be implying something.
I don't know if I want to mess with
Capobianco.
I don't know if I want to go all the way there, but I do know that dude's a knucklehead, and apparently this 38 years old, don't know that. I feel like this is one of the issues, though, with fandom at times is, yes, you want to impact your team's game by like showing up and being loud, right? I think this is one of the downsides of it is that, hey, you got to remember that you're also not that involved to where you need to be doing stuff. Because I think at one point he said something about we're not going to go out of our way to attack. If it's in our area, we're going to D up. You are not playing the game, my man. Like, this is not for you to impact. And so sometimes I do wonder, it's like, hey, man, what place do you think you have as a fan in that moment? Yeah. Because there's a lot of entitlement
there. And the worst part about this is other people going to start doing this.
Maybe.
Yeah, other people going to start acting the fool and all that stuff. And it could be worse.
Look, like, this is just, it should be an embarrassment. And instead, they're hailing them. And go figure.
They pretty much saying, hey, it's cool to do this. Yeah. It's cool.
And go figure. Gronk knows this dude.
Yeah. You were saying
Gronk knows him.
Apparently this dude also went to Arizona.
He played hockey at Arizona, and Gronk said it's
hockey at Arizona. Oh, I know he was partying his ass off.
Apparently, Gronk said that this is very much on brand for this Capobianco guy.
Yeah, I bet it is.
He said, quote, him doing this represents him very well. So in other words, this guy is, he's a mess.
Well, we'll see. I'm sure if he's there, which I believe that he will be for game 5 tonight, I'm sure we'll see him on TV.
How many times they going to show him?
I mean, if there's one thing I know about these TV directors, they're going to have a camera pointed towards there. See if he's there. See if he's there again. Yeah. Some other things that are popping. This came out a few days ago, but I figured I'd get it out here. ESPN for Monday Night Football on December 9th. It's going to be Bengals and Cowboys. And they're doing something a little special. This is the promo that's been running for it.
On December 9th, two storied rivals will meet on the gridiron. A test of will, of spirit, of determination, in which ultimately only one can prevail. When these two ancient foes face off on Monday Night Football, it's more than just football. It's family. It's Bart and the Bengals versus Homer and the Cowboys, live from Springfield.
Promo.
Yeah, so they're doing a Simpsons-themed kind of
animation game
with some technology. We saw something similar. I believe it was the Jags. I don't remember who they were playing against, but I definitely remember it was the Jags because there was one play in particular that is seared into my brain with Trevor Lawrence running.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing just how quality the broadcast looks, and it was Falcons and Jags, and I'm gonna see if I can show you on my phone here. But this is what the play looks like, and it was the Toy Story game where they had the playing field basically on the floor of Andy's room. But like supposedly they're supposed to be like Bart and Homer involved here, mm-hmm. and they'll jump into the game at some point, animated into the game. But yeah, I how interested are you in this game that is going to be only on ESPN Plus, Disney Plus? They're still going to have the regular broadcast of it. How interested are you in a game like this? And I think that people typically think of them as like ways to get kids involved. Do you think that would actually work?
I mean, the second part, yes. Not just kids, but kids that grew up with The Simpsons, longest running show on television.
Yeah, at this point, I don't know how much it's for the kids. I feel like this is for the adults.
That's what I'm saying. How many years? 30-something years? Maybe 40? Simpsons has been running.
Definitely. Like 89?
Yeah. 90, so 80, so yeah. I think a lot of people are going to be involved. And let's
89.
Yeah. So think about that. Like, people older than you are going to be plugged in. Or not plugged in, but certainly going to catch a glimpse. And that was my second point. I mean, I think we're all lying if we don't at least, you know, curiosity gets the best of us and we at least peek over there a little bit, right?
That's what I did last year for this game. And one thing I realized is, yo, the actual animation, the technology that they use, mm-hmm. it does look like they're playing football. It's not like you're watching the dots or whatever.
No, yeah.
Or if you watch Amazon Prime, when they go to like their telestrator where they try and use the actual people, it doesn't actually look like football. Mm-hmm. This looks like football. I just feel like I still would rather like see the nuances of football. I guess maybe it depends on what level of football you want. I'll peek over just to see what it actually looks like, what the Springfield of it all is. But I have a hard time thinking that I would watch this entirely all the way on this broadcast.
Just as we're speaking, Sporting News now reporting that Major League Baseball has requested, not demanded, not ruled, requested that the Yankees ban the two
fans
who were interviewed who interfered with Mookie Betts from Game 4.
Good job, Manfred.
For attending Game 5.
Attaboy.
That's not even really that strong.
You can't have them back.
But why can't MLB say, MLB runs it, say they're out? Forget what the Yankees say.
Hey,
they're
guys,
out. In other words,
can you ban this guy?
They clasp their hands on their waist and say, could you please, we are requesting that you ban them.
I don't know. Well, the only thing that I can think of is remember, in any of these sports, the commissioner serves at the behest of these ownership groups. And I imagine the Steinbrenners have a little bit of pull mm-hmm. when it comes to those owners. So maybe that's what still, it is. But nah, you can't have
that. Any other organization.
Like I said earlier, that can be ugly where more people start doing that type 100%. Of stuff just to get the attention and all that stuff. If you're the commissioner, you got to step in like, nah, he can't go to this game.
Yeah.
Like, maybe not a lifetime ban. But
he didn't.
Nah, like, ban him for the rest of the series.
They're requesting.
Yeah, this is the last one that you have at Yankee Stadium on the season. You just, hey, at the very least, and this is pretty light to just be like, hey, you got to miss at least one game.
Yeah.
That's before we even talk about
it. I don't think he should be banned for life. But nah, you can't have him back the very next game.
In the same seats?
That's not even a slap on the wrist, man. No.
Yeah, you got to leave right now, but you can cut.
It's celebrating him is what it is. You're celebrating him.
Yeah, and they're going to celebrate him, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think you end up in like a player safety thing as well, where I imagine the MLBPA.
I'm not trying to be like Mr. You know, lovey-dovey here, you know, soft or anything. But he did grab the dude's wrist, a Major League Baseball player's wrist, and rip out the ball.
Right. You can end up talking about slippery slopes and that type of stuff.
They're pretty much saying that's cool to do.
Yeah.
All right. So at least we got a little bit of catharsis there. Yeah.
We have a request.
There you go. As long as he ain't there, whatever the term.
I wonder if they said
request,
please.
Demand, edict, I don't know, whatever y'all call it. As long as them cats are not there. Capo Bianco. One more time for good measure.
Capo Bianco.
There you go. It's in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next. Left guard has been a huge topic of conversation for this team after Kenyon Green got benched in the Colts game. So who should start at left guard tomorrow? Let's talk about that next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.